of living my prayer for truth. I call it my prayer, it is simple and clear. It wants me to give and receive love. I call in the light to make everything right and show me the way to just be love. And show me the way to just be love.
Hello and welcome to the Rewire Your Attachment Style podcast. This is Maya Diamond. And today we're going to be discussing a topic that is fun, deep, taboo, and hopefully will be enjoyable and a gift for a lot of people. First of all, I just want to say this episode is for adults only, and we will be using explicit language. So if you're listening and you're not an adult, please turn off this podcast, or if you're an adult with a child, please turn off this podcast. Now, I want to let you know that I've been coaching people for the last 16 years around attachment, love, dating, relationships, and quietly in the background, I've also been deeply studying sexuality and sexual awakening, and have had the privilege of becoming a certified erotic blueprint coach. So not only do I do love and relationship coaching, but I am also a sex and intimacy coach for individuals and couples. This is the first episode of the podcast where I'm coming out as a sex coach as well as a dating coach. So I want to celebrate this as it's been a long and winding road to get here. Okay, so let's dive into today's topic, which is cunnilingus. I have a panel of amazing conscious men, dear friends of mine, who are gracious enough to discuss this topic of eating pussy with me. And their names are Nikki, Jeff, Spark, and Bo. These men are brilliant, funny, passionate, sexy, deep, and conscious, and they're doing their work. So welcome all of you to the podcast. So nice to have you guys here.
Great to be with you, Maya.
Thank you, Maya.
Yeah.
Congratulations on coming out.
Thank you. Thank you.
The inner truth.
So I believe oral sex is one of the most intimate, powerful, and generous acts of devotion and love one can give their partner, and is truly all about giving and receiving, which is very rare in sexuality. So I wanted to explore this topic with a panel of men so we can really understand it and relate to it even more. And I hope this conversation is beneficial to all genders and all sexualities. And I am dedicating this episode to all people everywhere who have pussies. Okay, so let's dive in. What do you love most about giving cunnilingus?
When men experience acknowledgement through a woman's happiness, it's a real turn on. And this is an opportunity for that feedback loop that is just so almost relegated to the sacred realms, to provide as masculine to the feminine and receive her appreciation just stokes my fire to provide some more. And I love going slowly, slowly as we could imagine. Thank you, Nicole Dayton, for slow sex. I love building the anticipation. I love building the arousal. Because her approval turns me on. And even in the moans and the yeses and the thrusting hips, my masculine, feels the hero. I'm generating all of this, and it's very powerful.
Wow. Beautiful. Thank you. Spark, did you want to add something to this?
The experience of having balance in my sexuality is a really important thing. And I know we had a conversation before this call about the origins of the experience of doing performing cunnilingus. And for me, the ability to ensure that my partner is fully satisfied is a fundamental part of my interest in being sexual. Like I want to make sure I will probably be satisfied, but I want to make sure my partner is satisfied. And the envelope of sort of arousal can be different for men, and most certainly is in a lot of respects. And so By going down, there can be an opportunity to ramp up and to connect and to really make sure, as Nikki just said, to make sure that my partner is fully aroused, and when we move to other aspects of our sexual contact, that she is ready and sufficiently turned on. And so,
beautiful.
That's a big part of that for me.
Yeah. So yeah, the warm up as well as the deep satisfaction. I love that. That's so such a beautiful piece that you said, which is like really prioritizing her satisfaction and yeah, just really having that as a foundational aspect of the connection. Beautiful. And Jeff?
It's so raw and sensitive there. So it's like, if you just love the feminine, where is it going to be so exquisitely like powerful, sensitive, raw? But there, it's also, it's like, maybe we'll talk about this more later, but it's like, as I got educated in that part of the body, it became so fun to play there. And it's what comes to me now is I think I've probably been better playing with the tactile, all the sensitivity, tactile aspects there. Whereas I feel like other sexual acts, probably it could be more like thematically driven or energetically driven and playing with all those dynamics, you know, and the polarity and the interactions. But it's like, I've probably felt more comfortable so far, just like in the sheer tactile sensitivity play, like physical dynamic down there where everything is so powerfully, it's sensitive and like powerfully linked up to so many other things mm-hmm. in our body. So for me so far, it's been like, that what I just said hopefully makes sense.
Yep, totally. And I love what you said around like the raw sensitivity, and you know, we all know how the clitoris has so many nerve endings, but also as you're talking, it kind of brings to mind how vulnerable it is, right? When one person is just focusing all their attention on that part of your body, and how actually, again, receiving is vulnerable. And so it's such an act of vulnerability and receiving, to receive this act really well.
Hmm. If you're welcome to that part of her and you actually want to be there in that part of her, it's so, someone said approval before. I don't know. It's just so special that like you both actually want to be in that place, because it's, yeah, just so, what is it? Something so core and raw and sensitive. I'm missing the word at the moment, but I'm sure you guys will find it.
Yeah, intimate. Mm-hmm. For sure. And so I'm wondering, what have you found that women really love that you do that helps them relax and surrender to the experience? In other words, you know, as a woman, I've noticed that if I'm the most relaxed, the most, feel the most safe, the most, you know, desired, etc., then I can really surrender into this experience. So I'm curious, is there any kind of things that you've found that have helped a woman relax? Great, Bo, would love to hear.
Well, of course, going slow is good, but you know, one thing I love is the earlobe. So I loved to give attention to the earlobe first as a kind of a preview or a sizzle reel of what my tongue can do. And, you know, as I explore the folds of the ear and, you know, looking it to and fro and teasing it, kind of as a, you know, it's an opportunity. Do they like that? Do they want it? Many women may know that is an opportunity.
Right.
But yeah, looks. And it's a place to start. You know, many of the men before talked about the pace, the slowness. So sexuality, sensuality, you know, we want them to feel our masculine desire. Okay, so that's been established. Now there's, what else is on the buffet here, you know? So going slow at the earlobe is often an interesting entree. Let's see where that goes. But I'd also, as the other gentlemen were talking, I wanted to chime in that this slow, focused intimacy is such an opportunity for deep sensuality and connection and respect. You know, when I think of past lovers over the years, you know, what I remember most when I think back is that this particular type of intimacy is often in my deepest heartfelt memories, where that connection was built. And it's so funny, listening to the other men, you know, just begin to talk about it, I get butterflies in my stomach, and then rubbing my beard and just remembering, oh, I remember this mustache and beard were wet with lovers past. And I just got butterflies in my stomach thinking about it. So thank you. I had to hand it off to the next lover of divine feminine.
Beautiful. And I just want to talk about the ear piece, because that's super interesting, because in Chinese medicine, the ear connects to all the different organs of the body, and so has that acupressure points of all the different organs. And so that is a way, or the way that I see it, it's like you're actually connecting with all the different, exactly, teasing, kind of touching, lightly touching all the different parts of the body with that earlobe, licking or sucking or whatever. So that's really beautiful. Love it. Okay, let's go back to Nikki.
I think to help her relax and surrender, there's things happening behind the scenes initially. And that's setting the stage, preparing the space, preparing myself. The ambient lighting, the music, the warm temperature, the furs, all of that to create a nest to invite her into. And then something I learned from John Gray decades ago. Invite her in silently and just cuddle. Cuddle and wait for the animal bodies to kind of sync up, for our breaths to sync up and slow down. And then to ask her to share the challenges of her day. Mm-hmm. And just hold space for that and listen so that she can relieve herself of that. And then, of course, undressing her slowly, with the patience of God at the speed of trust, and lingering and safeporting her and telling her what will happen or what I want to do in the simplest of terms with the lightest touch, assuring her safety, inviting her to relax that there's nothing you need to do. Just receive. I've got this, and hold her.
So much care and presence that I'm hearing in what you're saying. So much presence, which does create so much safety and relaxation for women. And Spark?
There's maybe an imaginary optimum circumstance when it comes down to what we like and what we don't like. And the fantasy or the optimum would be that we just read each other's minds and we just are so tuned in that we know exactly what we like, that is, in terms of the receiver in this case. In sexuality and intimacy workshops that I've experienced, one thing that was one of the greatest things I learned was opening up the dialogue on our sexuality, which oftentimes in our society, people just don't talk about it. I mean, when I'm around you guys in this community, yes, but generally speaking, not. And so opening the dialogue and just having a conversation about it, which is similar to what Nikki was saying, can be even, I was just having lunch speaking to my friend, and it's like just having the conversation is a super turn on in itself. But more than the turn on, it's informative, and we get an opportunity to say, oh, I like this and I like that. That's maybe something that happens beforehand, but during the act of cuddling is as well. I want to know. I mean, I can tell at some level, but I don't know if we need a little more of this or a little more of that, or a little softer, or a little quicker, or over here or down here, or what areas, or finger inside or whatever. And so the communication, the verbal communication is a huge part of that. And when that dialogue is taking place, especially beforehand, it can open up a lot of comfort and safety. As you're saying with the question, it's like what maximizes the comfort? And I think that is one element that is super helpful.
Yeah, that's so, so huge, which is the feedback in real time. And that's something that I think I just want all the women who are listening to hear that, because I think that's something that I've heard from a lot of my clients, that it can be hard to give that feedback. And because there's the fear of communicating our desires and or fear of hurting someone. And I think, you know, exactly, it's not that you're doing anything wrong. It's just like, okay, a little more over there, et cetera. So, yeah, just that, so beautiful to hear you say that that's really helpful to have that feedback, and just allows you to bring this person into even more pleasure. And Bo, yeah, if you want to add.
Just, yeah, well said, Spark. Appreciate that. I would love to add how I like to receive feedback in the moment, if now's an appropriate time for that. Yeah. I love simple one-word commands. And even more nonverbal commands. Just, I love that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, right there. That just feels so good to hear, to know that I'm doing well. And if it's not, you know, I want to know too, because, you know, this job can only go for so long. And, you know, I've had some neck issues in the past. And so often I ask for a specific position. I like to be off the bed. You know, there's ways that allow me to give more, longer, better. So I have to ask and move towards that. But once I'm there and being in the moment and connecting and all that, I really appreciate simple one word. And I also very much appreciate my lover's movement. So when a lover can just shift her hips to where it's working for her. Got it. I'm there. So good. Or even, you know, grab my hair and put me in the right spot. Do it. That's where I want to be. That's what I'm there to do. Don't hold back. With a caveat, I had a lover I love so much, like, scratch my back in anger. Not because it was so good, but because I kept changing my technique right when she was at the moment of ecstasy and she got so frustrated. She just scratched my back and, okay, that's not right. I don't mind scratching in ecstasy, but scratching in frustration is not good. So that we needed some conversation around that. but yeah, I really appreciate the simple one word, or especially nonverbal, and then just adjustments.
Beautiful, so clear. Okay, awesome. And Jeff.
Sort of a back step, because it's more, you know, Bo just took us somewhere else, which is really important. So it's, you know, what seems to help women relax and surrender and trust, right? I'm noticing in the four of us this awareness of, like, how do I say it? It's almost like that phrase, how you do anything is how you do everything. There's just, it's like, how we are paying attention, listening, calibrating, attuning to any part of the interaction long before we ever got there is what's creating that safety and connection. And then for me, what helped with all this so much, I don't know if you guys ever heard of Sherry Winston. She wrote, what was it? The Anatomy of Arousal. Wonderful, wonderful book. And I've never talked to guys about this, actually. So for me, it's me and books. And she just lays out, and I'm hearing this in what you guys are sharing, it's like, start in a safer place, show that you're safe there, calibrate, wait till there's an invitation to come in further. And so in the actual act itself, it's like where Sherry Winston guided me, and it's, yeah, it seems to be spot on, is like, you don't go right in for the most sensitive part. And it's like, you know, with your hands as well, you dance around like the stomach and hips and thighs, and all of it's connected. And I think the phrase she used was like, you're warming up these outer parts first. And then when there is an invitation to come to an even more intimate, sensitive part, it's like when those outer parts are lit up, they all start to light each other up. And it's like the whole symphony is starting to come alive, and it's, in all of us, I'm hearing this like awareness and calibration to that sort of response. And it's like, Yeah, it starts so much, so long before you're actually right there in the heart of the matter. If that makes sense.
Yeah, so huge. I love what you said. I think there's like the warm up. I love how we're talking about all the different ways that you can warm up a woman. And I think, you know, just living in this society as a woman, there's so many ways where we can, you know, have to feel defended in our bodies because of sexual harassment, sexual abuse, all these things. And so to then let down the armor can be a little bit of a process, not to mention to come into the body and out of the head. And so the more that, or what you guys are speaking to is your ability to bring a woman into her body, into her sensations, as well as exactly just warming up the body so that there is that ability to really have even more pleasure and opening. So, so powerful. So, yeah, and I'm just imagining, I just have this imagining of like the men who are listening, who are going to be listening, who have never done this before, and how much wisdom there is that they're downloading right now. So, I love it. I'm wondering, what would you say to a man or a woman, to a man who has sex with women or a woman who has sex with women, who might be uncomfortable or resistant or doesn't really like giving oral sex to their partner, to their female partner, or does it seldomly meet? Like, what would you want to say to those people? And again, there could be a myriad of reasons why someone doesn't like it. And so obviously we can't go over every single one, but yeah, like what would you say to them? Great, Nikki.
If he came to me for help, because clearly if he's got some obstacles to this and has no desire to move forward, then I wouldn't bother saying anything. But if he came with curiosity for help, I'd be curious about what's going on in his head. And I'd be curious if it was informed by porn. Mm. And then to see what is the resistance, and then consider, is it a fear of not knowing what to do and to getting it wrong? Or is it olfactory and gustatory? Is it about taste and smell and a fear of that, perhaps, or some previous encounter that just closed the door? And I wonder if it would be perhaps for some demeaning in their mind, like they were being submissive doing this, as I've heard some people say in rap music. And I'd wonder if they'd want to talk, and if they'd want to talk to their lover and just open it up to the conversation, as the men earlier had spoke about speaking, about talking, about learning, and just getting guidance, learning more, having her guide him to sharing what feels good to her. And I wonder if that would be enough. Or what I read as a child in the first Penthouse magazines about how dissatisfied women were in these letters they were writing, how her husband came home and had his 2 minutes of sex and rolled over and went to sleep until she met the pool guy or the plumber or something. What I got out of those so fast that in eighth grade was that women were dissatisfied, and so how to satisfy them. And 20 years ago, a man named Ian Kerner wrote a book called She Comes First. And that was mind-blowing and opened me up so much further than anything I'd known. And I'm glad Jeff mentioned the books, because it's the books that taught me first. And the other one is called Vagina by Naomi Wolf. I mean, guys, we have our appendages, our sex organs, and learning about the yoni and the clitoris and the nerve plexus and a woman's arousal and pleasure is just a whole next level of education. So for anyone listening with any curiosity of like, what do I next? Go read She Comes First.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love how in the book Vagina by Naomi Wolf, such an eye-opening book, and she talks about how every single woman's vulva is wired differently in terms of arousal and how they can see that in the nerves and all of that. And so it just, I mean, what an amazing complex organ that there's all this diversity. And also it makes it a bit of a hopefully fun challenge for every man. You know, what are the places, what are the exactly areas of this person's vulva that are going to be the most sensitive, or they're going to feel the best, or what kind of pressure, what kind of rhythm, etc. Yeah, Bo.
I love that, and I really appreciate the wisdom of Nikki and the book recommendations, and also Jeff's recommendation. I'm wondering if you could put those in the show notes, because I'd love to check them out.
Yeah, great idea.
And if I could add, I remember a lover who absolutely loved me, pleasuring her and going down, but she had ambivalence because she was very resistant to performing oral sex on me. The cultural taboo for her. So she kind of pushed me away. But once she, you know, we were able to talk about why, and when she said, I don't want to do that, and I feel guilty if you do that for me. So, yeah, able to say, no worries, you don't have to do that. I'm doing this because I like it, because I like you. And then everything was great for us. So even, you know, I think there's an element of reciprocity that we probably should discuss today.
Yes.
About certain things. I mean, certainly, you know, selfishly, you know, whatever happens for me, it always feels good for me to pleasure my lover first. You know, it just feels good. And then whatever happens after, you know, we talk about. So that's one thing. But yeah, I just wanted to share that. And then, when your question here, you know, for men or women who may be hesitant or not have it, I mean, it may be an acquired taste, but it's a taste worth acquiring. I mean, you know, no one grows up liking oysters or maybe even coffee or, you know, a million other things in life. And you get older and like, oh my God, there's a whole gustatory world. Well, here, this is where it's at. This is a room worth coming into, you know?
Yeah. I love that. And in Taoist sexology, it's believed that, you know, the feminine juices are really increase longevity for a man and increase his essence and all of these things, almost like a superfood. And also that the, you know, the juices are really good for the skin and all of these things. And so it's just interesting how exactly what you said, Serge. I mean, exactly what you said, Nikki, which is that the, you know, in certain hip hop songs, in even in some older Western theories, it's been thought that oral sex is emasculating to men, and so I can see how there's this patriarchal influence that, in my opinion, has both influenced oral sex for men giving to women, but also women giving to men. And that there's been, that there's almost, it's so interesting because to me, it's the most devotional act. Yet, I think, it can be almost subverted or, you know, these ideas can make it more about power. And so loss of power or gain of power. I know growing up, I remember seeing movies where women's heads were pushed down by men to give them oral sex. And so it made me think that it was a demeaning act to give a man oral sex. And I had to completely rewrite that ideology and to really see it as, wow, this is actually the most generous, loving, devotional, actually powerful gift that you can give someone. And I say that story just for the listeners, if you're thinking about it, yeah, and maybe you do have some resistance for exactly, maybe it was an experience in childhood, an experience in adolescence, even an experience of a parent talking about it in a way that maybe was really negative. So just taking a moment to really think about, like, yeah, what are my beliefs about oral sex? What are my ideologies? What are my what is the way that I relate to this, because it has such a big impact on this act. And also, Bo, you brought up kind of the reciprocity, right? Like, I think people can come from like a tit for tat, like, oh, I gave you this, so you should give me that. But there's mm-hmm. also this other way, which is like, I'm just going to give this to you as a gift, whether I get to receive or not, right?
Yes, yes.
And so there's just so many different ways you can come into this in this intentional way. And I think that is so powerful for to come in this way of giving it as a gift. And obviously, if there's something you're wanting more of in sexuality, I think it's really important to share that with your partner. Okay, Jeff, I'll get to you.
I can just say I read all the books we've mentioned so far. Nice. Kerner's She Comes First, that one got to me first. Extremely effective book. Mm-hmm. And then Sherry Winston's Anatomy of Arousal. The depth and fun in her how-to is just fantastic. Lots of little spiritual and historical connections, mm-hmm. which are amazing. And then Naomi Wolf, so the book is called Vagina, A New Biography. And that one really changed it. I think, let's say as a teenager, my connotations were like, didn't know what to do down there. First time I was there, I was like, not even really quite finding it, and just kind of lost lost in pubic hair, and didn't that was confusing, and then I'd hear stories about, like, you know, smelling like fish or something, which I have actually never experienced, and honestly, like, taste or smell just about never ever been a thing. And I had this whole fear of it for a while. And then anyway, when I finally got to read Naomi Wolf's book, Vagina, New Biography, like, the depth and power of this place on a woman's body, and just like how she renders it, and the healing that's possible through it too. And somehow, like, when I was done with that book, I just absolutely loved vaginas, like, loved.
Mm.
Huge shift. Yeah.
So powerful. That brings me to the next question, which is, yeah, do you remember your first time eating pussy? And is there anything you want to share about that experience, which Jeff just shared? Would love to hear if anyone else has any memories or anything they want to share about that first time doing this act. Bo.
Well, I was super blessed that I had two friends who were lesbian lovers, and they just told me what to do. Like, I mean, I didn't do it with them. This is, but like, over some weeks, you know, I was just curious, what do you guys do? And, you know, I was very probably early 20s, and they just told me everything. So mm-hmm. I was super blessed. And then, you know, my girlfriend was just kind of blown away and very suspicious. Like, how did this come about? I was super blessed to have excellent, you know, you could say oral instruction. But then just got to work, and my girlfriend was blown away.
Wow. That's so cool. And Jeff, yeah.
Bo, what did those lesbian friends tell your young 20s self?
They told me what they liked, and I, you know, what I remember them referring to the clitoris as a button, and to just move it just to move it around. I think that's what they told me, and to, you know, probably, I don't know, maybe pacing. But, you know, I can't deny, I also learned from a comedian, and I know someone will say people who do the ABCs are amateurs, but, you know, when you're lost, there was a comedian who talked about doing the ABCs until your face was like a glazed donut with glaze all out, you know? I wish, maybe you can put that in the show notes. I don't remember who it was, but that was, that was inspirational when I lost my motivation or didn't know what to do.
Totally.
You know, to find a new starting place and then and then follow the cues from there. Okay, what's working?
Yeah, love that. Okay, I'm wondering what gets in the way of you guys giving oral sex? Like, what would prevent you from doing that in a sexual experience in a situation with a partner? Spark.
One thing that came up in a conversation recently, and I did notice that it raised a little bit of concern by the person I was speaking with, had to do with, we're going back to taste and smell, and has to do with cleanliness. And I know that if someone is going to go down on me, I certainly want to be clean. And I also like that in the other direction. I mean, I'm imagining, you know, traveling in India and having digestive issues and stuff, or what, you know, you want to be clean because you, there's a lot of other things down in that particular region. In addition to perspiration, in addition to dry discharge or whatever. And so, I think that's an important part. If someone has had a bad experience regarding scent or taste, and they did not experience a clean yoni the first time they went down, I can imagine them saying, oh, I don't want to do that again. And so for people that have reluctance going down, or for someone that maybe their partner doesn't want to go down on them, I think that would be part of the conversation. And that I was speaking with a friend recently, and she was talking about how much of a turn on it was the very first time her friend ever went down on her. They got in the shower and he washed her, you know. I'm not talking about soap, but I'm talking about just massaging and letting the water flow and letting the area be clean.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think that's exactly. Everyone has their own preferences around that, whether you like someone to take a shower first, or maybe you like the all natural, like maybe some people do like the smell of perspiration, right? And so it's all good. Everything is good. It's just being able to communicate that in a really kind, loving way to your partner, like really owning that desire, I think is really key to that. Yeah, Jeff.
So I don't know if you guys have seen, you can see Napoleon's letters to whoever his lover was, and he was telling her basically like, 1 or 2 weeks away from seeing her, like, don't you dare clean before we meet.
Don't take a bath.
Interesting. Yeah. Super interesting. Yeah. Okay, go, Bo.
Spark, thanks for diving into that, the details there. And I would like to say, you know, like, I mean, a full bush is not going to deter me. That's where we're going. But it is so friendly in that inquisitive moment to see some landscaping, or they call it the landing strip. There's some grooming there. It's like seeing an altar with the incense burning. You know, it's an invitation ready to worship and pray at the yoni. So it's much appreciated and it's inviting. You know, we're already excited to be there, and you see that it's like
Yeah, I wanted to add on regarding grooming. I have a shaved face, and after a very short number of hours, my shaved face turns into sort of a rose thorn field. And rose thorn fields and clitori, if that's the plural, are not a good combination together. And so, you know, that's one thing that I'm trying to be really conscious of, to make sure I'm as smooth as possible, because that area does not like to be sanded. It likes a smooth tactile experience there. Yeah.
And perhaps we take it one step further. And if we are appreciating a well-groomed woman that's tended to so lovingly, perhaps we too can contribute to that field by manscaping, and so that we're not showing up with just this jungle, also, which holds the perspiration and the sweat. Because I really think the attraction, like as Bo mentioned as well about, or Jeff mentioned about Napoleon's letters, it's such a fine line about the pheromones. Someone's breath or their body odor or their yoni can be off for me. And that just means that's not for me anymore. And then when those are aligned, then it's just green lights all the way. And surprisingly, I had a lover visit from a long time of not connecting with her, and it was just a fantastic couple of hours, at which point she says, yeah, I haven't showered in a week. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, this is where it's a benevolent universe and it's meant to be, because that was the most amazing night of the week. And then other times, of course, it's like, I want to get the wet wipes out or the warm washcloth and let's just bathe. It all depends on the pheromones.
It really does. And I just really want to give a plug, because I think in our culture, there's just a lot of, you know, pressure for women to, you know, shave their legs and shave their yoni and da 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 da. And I think it really is up to each individual, each partnership, to have those conversations. Like, some men do like a full hair on the yoni, and some men don't. And so, or men exactly prefer fully Brazilian wax or whatever. And so I think there is something to be said for just, again, I want to just really honor everyone's preferences. And then also, I love, Bo, the way that you shared it, which is like, yeah, there's something really powerful about being able to see. I think something that a lot of women haven't been taught, because our culture doesn't teach us why is this so preferred, right? But for men, exactly, there's something about just seeing the lips, seeing the softness, seeing the color that you get to do when there isn't as much hair, right? And so that's part of why there's that preference there. So this is a question that is really interesting to me. So sexuality and spirituality can be so linked, especially if you're really open to it. And you're, as well as, you know, developing your spiritual connection outside of the bedroom with meditation, etc. And that can really amplify your spiritual experience in the bedroom. And so both for all the genders. And so I'm curious, in this experience of giving this gift to a woman of oral sex, Have you experienced it as a spiritual experience? And if so, what is that for you? Spark, would love to hear.
I was reflecting on this question a bit over the last couple of days. And I, what kept coming again and again is I think it was Nikki that talked about taking the time to, breathe together and to lay together and just to connect and to touch each other lightly and non-sexually, so to speak, but just to be and sync up hearts and sync up the body before actually engaging in any sexuality. And I don't find cunnilingus being particularly standing above and beyond other sexual acts. And in fact, I think face-to-face, heart-to-heart, when, you know, PV, penetrative sex is happening, for me, is the most profound and deep and beautiful and precious aspects of connection that I would describe as spiritual. That is, these two beings are connecting. It's not just through a tactile experience, but through, again, heart, eyes, presence, fully together, and the ecstasy of all of the chakras firing throughout at the same time. That would be the maximum or penultimate spiritual experience that I've had.
Thank you. Anyone else want to share? Jeff? In terms of oral sex, have you had the experience, or do you have the experience of it being spiritual for you? Which could just be, yeah, do you feel like you're pleasuring the goddess herself? For example, the larger goddess, right? Like the big goddess. Or not just the personal goddess. Is there, or do you find exactly that you're, you know, connecting with some kind of timeless dimension or oneness when you're doing the act of giving oral sex? Have you experienced that or not necessarily?
I think you just planted the seeds for that experience to come. And I haven't had that awareness in the past. I do remember once hearing a story, some woman was saying that the guy who was eating her out at one point buried his third eye, mm-hmm. In her yoni. And at that moment, she went to the cosmos, which sounded phenomenal. And then hopefully it relates enough. It's been a very curious situation I hit. Have any of you guys heard of the book Cupid's Poisoned Arrow? It's driving.
I'm taking notes on your reading list.
You may not be too compelled by, you'll see. So, but its driving point, which changed my life, is that basically generally contracting orgasms are evolutionarily designed to throw us off mood-wise and ultimately in the end separate us from our partner. And this book got me off porn, 99%, and radically changed my kind of mood day to day. First girlfriend I had after I read it was totally down to practice sex in the way that this book advocates, which is with this incredible energetic attunement and calibration to each other. You actually avoid orgasms. And then you get to take all this serotonin and oxytocin into your days with each other. And I found it to be totally true. We broke up. And then all the women I've met since then didn't have sort of the open-mindedness or willingness to give up orgasms. And I, for better or worse, had trained myself well enough from everything we've talked about so far. I was able to give them plenty of orgasms. And they didn't want to give it up. But I had this deeper yearning for what to me is a much more spiritual, energetic approach to sex. And it even makes me, I don't even know if I'm going to be eating pussy later in life, because I'm so much more interested in this, and I've experienced this sometimes. She calls it valley orgasms, this author, and it's these waves of energy coming over your body that come from just in the moment where our animal instincts would just want to ravish and consume. Instead, you breathe and relax, and it comes over you by surprise. And that is what I so yearn for. And at this point, I don't think I'm going to accept a relationship where that's where my partner isn't open to it. And it put me in this weird hole. I was like, oh shit, this is seemingly more spiritual than the partners I can find want to engage in. It's like, all right, I'll go back to orgasms and eating pussy, et cetera. And it's fun. But then I would see the deleterious effects of it that are laid out in this book. And I actually think the book is right. And yet I've been talking about this book for 13 years. Changed my life. No one's ever gone and read it. From all the people I've told about, no. Giving up orgasms, no thank you. And so I've been on this lonely island with it.
So yeah, I've read part of that book. And this is a bigger, this is a different conversation. And it's a big conversation. I think it's actually very complex what she talks about in that book. And I also think it's related to attachment. I also think it's related to the blueprints, right? So just bringing in a couple of the themes of the biggest things that I work with, in terms of the erotic blueprints, the energetic blueprint is really fed by those energetic orgasms, really fed by tease, really fed by anticipation, really fed by light fingertip touch, emotional connection and presence. And so that can really feed a lot of people. But if you're high in sexual blueprint, then you're really fed by orgasms and penetration and genital touch. And so I think it's really important to not, something that I learned as an erotic blueprint coach that I think you guys have been hearing in this, is to not judge one thing as better than the other. I think what's really important is to listen to what your true nature is calling for, which is exactly what you're saying, really listening. Okay, this is what actually feels the most nourishing for me. And I really want to find a partner who also feels equally as nourished by that. But I want to just give a plug for all the sexual blueprint, both men and women, or people who have sexual blueprint, which you might be a shapeshifter. And just so you guys know, the erotic blueprints are the way that we're wired erotically. It's the way that we're wired in our nervous systems, in our sexuality, in our bodies. And so If you have high sexual blueprint, then getting that blueprint met is really going to nourish your whole body and your psyche, and it's going to relax you and all these amazing benefits. And so I think this is a very complex conversation. And so I want to just bring in all the perspectives, but I definitely see how for some people, her theory could be good, but for other people, her theory could actually drive them completely mad. Because for some people, orgasms are really important for their nervous systems and their bodies. That's what I believe. Okay, Jeff.
Real quick, just because the erotic blueprints are so awesome, I always wonder why Jaya doesn't just call it the five sex languages. Mm. Everyone loves the five love languages. I always introduce it, five love languages. Everyone knows it. I mean, and I'm like, these are the five sex languages. And everyone's like, what? And it's like, and they've never heard of it. So I just had to pitch it that way.
Yeah, I love telling people about it that way as well, because it is, it's a language of sexuality and erotic math. It's an erotic math. Go for it, Beau.
Jeff, that is an intriguing topic. And also, I think you need to write a blog or a book about the five sex languages. Maybe you two, you and Maya, should collaborate.
Oh.
I've been playing with sexuality and spiritualities. I mean, they are hand in hand, you know? And I remember reading a book about the alchemy of sex magic and Mary Magdalene. And, and I don't know. It's definitely an amazing water to swim in. I remember often, you know, like invoking the ancestors of my lover to guide me, mm-hmm. and invoking Mary Magdalene. And then I remember at one point I heard her say, you know, I'm busy, ask someone else. So I don't know where to go with that level, but I have enjoyed inquiry around it. And I think it does, you know, at least having a spiritual intention when in a relationship with that kind of spirituality is, yeah, it's a whole nother realm. And I've just dipped my toe into it, and I'd love to hear what the other guys have to say.
Beautiful. Yeah, does anyone else want to share more about the spirituality piece? And then I have the next question.
Well, just briefly then on Beau's invitation, thank you, Maya, mentioning intention and maybe like bringing home a little bit closer this idea of spirituality, and for some maybe it's a foreign territory, but setting intentions for an action really seems to be a beautiful thing to do. Everything was born into this world through vision, through intention, everything surrounding us in the 3D world. And so coming together with a lover and perhaps lighting a candle to invite the light in to the moment, and then setting an intention, even if it's, I want all of me to be here with all of you, mm-hmm. as far as presence. Already, I think, invokes that aspect of spirituality without getting too woo or ritualistic, just something sweet like mindfulness, like the presencing of the moment, instead of just we're here to fuck and there's this moving the unconscious act into conscious with a capital C. Yeah, thank you.
Love that. So huge. So I'm curious, because we've kind of touched a little bit on how it can be hard to, you know, some women might take a while to orgasm, and so, or some women only orgasm through oral sex. And so I'm curious, and that's actually, yeah, a really big piece, which is, you know, a very large percent of females do not orgasm through penetrative sex, right? And so oral sex is this amazing way to give women orgasms. And so I'm wondering, have you found any tricks or tips to, Beau mentioned a couple, but I'm curious if anyone else has any tricks or tips for being able to last longer in this area, because that is one of the most amazing things, I think, to give to either sex, any of the sexes, which is to be able to do this for a long time. Curious if anyone has anything that's like helped them, or if they're just naturally able. Go for it, Jeff.
It was Cupid's poison arrow. So basically, before that book, I was always coming too fast. And it was always just me who got to come. Mm-hmm. And so once I took orgasm as a goal off the table for both me and her, I'm like so good with it not happening. Part of me kind of prefers it. And then because of what I see as the impact of it later on to the relationship, to how like secure we feel in ourselves for the next couple of days. And then paradoxically, that actually made the orgasm so available. And like duration was just no longer an issue. And also the way it took all of the performance orientation and the goal orientation out of the picture. And then if you're not going for orgasms, all there is to do is calibrate and attune and connect, which brought so many more orgasms, actually.
Love that. Yeah. Spark.
When you asked the question, I was curious if your intention was actually while performing cunnilingus. And so I'd like to address that.
Yeah.
Bo did talk about neck positions. I know that it's a hyperextension for a long period of time is not actually the most pleasurable experience for the person performing cunnilingus. There's always flip around 69 and stuff, but it seems to me the partner facing up is a better access for access to the clitoris. But the other thing I was going to say is, there's the mouth and there's the hands, and an experience that I've had where it was a very, very long amount of time, any repetitive activity in any part of the body gets tired after a while, the tongue or the lips or whatever. And I can't imagine it being pleasurable if my body is having stress from fatigue or whatever. So to be able to mix it up with hands and mix it up with the mouth, if it's going to be an extended period of cunnilingus, would be one simple way of prolonging that experience for my partner.
Yeah, love that.
I think that's key here is a little creativity. For instance, we don't have to be in an uncomfortable position which cranks our neck and tires our tongue. In fact, all the good writers will suggest, like, hey, move around, find a comfortable position, make sure she's comfortable, then you make sure you take care of yourself as well. And it's not the tongue muscle that's really going to work, as was just so perfectly stated. It's our lips, and the whole head can move while the tongue gets rigid, and bringing the hands in and alternating and bringing in the pressure between lips and fingers. It'll really break up any monotony and any kind of carpal tunnel syndrome going on. And it's often been said that the tongue is mightier than the sword. And I think in this case, it's true because it is the most versatile sex organ that we possess. And to find a way to bring this to the altar of a sexual relationship and move from thinking that it's 2 5-minute acts that hopefully are reciprocal and then you move to fucking, let this be 30, 40, 50 minutes. Because it's the foreplay started when the sex ended, a week earlier or days earlier. And then the anticipation begins and the flirtation and the nibbles. Because cunnilingus is actually core play. It's the centerpiece of the whole play process. So how much of me can I bring there with grace and expertise is really became what was tantamount or paramount to the whole experience. Find a way to do it and explore and educate yourself, because there are many ways that you can do it easefully that you can come out without a crick in your neck or TMJ.
Beautiful. Bo?
Nikki, that was so eloquent and an incredible pep talk. I'm excited to go home and talk to my lady and tell her about it and get down to it. Thank you.
Beautiful. Yeah. I think I just want to add to the spiritual question that, probably I think on the receiving end is such an amazing opportunity to be able to receive and surrender and get to that spiritual place where nothing exists, there's nothing, no one, etc. And so I think I'm talking about this act as a gift. And so that is one of the gifts I believe that both oral sex and penetrative sex that you're giving or facilitating or co-creating with your partner is this ability to reach these multidimensional places. And so there may be, it would be, I'm curious now to study this, which is it that the receiver actually has more experience of spiritual oneness or, you know, higher states of consciousness than the giver? Because that almost makes more sense in a way. But I'm curious about this now, this question as we're talking. Jeff?
I'm curious about that too, now that you're saying it. So curious. And I just wanted to say too, with the erotic blueprints, those five love languages, it's such a cool little vocabulary and invitation to even just play with each of those languages in the way you're kissing and licking down there, et cetera. And again, just reading responses, and it gets so fun with like a little bit of awareness and vocabulary that helps you attune and calibrate and then read the responses. Yeah.
Beautiful. So I just want to say this has been such an amazing conversation. Oh, Bo has something to add. I want to hear it.
Thanks. I do. You know, a thought that, that I had that was inspired by Nikki's talk about the tongue is, you know, embryologically, when we're growing as cells, you know, the first organ that's formed is the heart. Mm-hmm. And the second is the tongue. The tongue is intimately connected to the heart. And so it's to think about like the heart growing and transmitting love through the tongue directly to the clitoris and yoni and going back up to the heart. It's a beautiful image, but it's really grounded in physically who we are in our bodies.
Wow. That is so amazing. I love that. Thank you so much. That's so powerful. Mm-hmm. And that brings me to, yeah, I just want to share. Thank you guys so much for having this conversation. It's been so, so rich and so yummy and titillating and deep and interesting and conscious. And I think going to be so valuable for so many people. And, you know, one of my biggest intentions and purposes in this world is to expand people's capacity to give and receive love. And I feel like this episode is so in line with that because it's such an amazing way to give and receive love to your partner. And so I just exactly hope that people are getting inspired and excited to learn more, to practice, right? Practice makes perfect. I feel like this totally goes along with this sexual act, to experiment, to enjoy, have fun, give feedback, and to, you know, also just bringing this back into your sexual dynamic. I feel like it's often that couples stop giving each other oral sex, stop with the foreplay, stop with the warm up. And for couples that are listening that have been together a really long time, I just really encourage you to kind of bring this back in if it's been something that's gotten lost by the wayside, because it's such a beautiful way to give and receive. And to receive, especially, you know, women in our culture are wearing so many hats, working, raising children, being in relationship, you know, all these different things that we're holding. And so to be able to just relax into this receiving is so, so powerful. So thank you, all of you, for your vulnerability and your openness and your personal shares. It's just so heartwarming. And so I think it's just going to inspire so many women, just even hearing that men like you exist and men like you do exist. And there's lots more men like you around who really want to pleasure the goddess. And so women, mm-hmm. encourage you as you're listening to really receive this. Take deep breaths into your body, really receiving all of these words, because these men are examples of men who deeply care about women and deeply care about women's pleasure, but also their emotions and their hearts. Yeah, Nikki.
Thank you. As you were bringing us to a close, I wanted to just bring a couple of sentences remembering a book called The Cradle of Erotica. In the book, there's the Empress Wuhu, who's ruled China in the Tang Dynasty. And she decreed that every government official and visiting dignitary must pay homage to Her Imperial Highness by performing cunnilingus upon her. True story. So in closing, I think inside every modern woman is an empress longing to be honored by her nobleman.
Beautiful. Yeah, such a beautiful way to honor a woman. And yeah, this beautiful, intimate act. So yeah, thank you, everyone. So, so fun. I definitely am now feeling like we have to do a panel now with women on this conversation as well and hear about these intimate details, because I think that could be really powerful as well, just because this is, again, one of the most taboo subjects that exists. And I wanna hear from these women. So thank you so, so much. And
thank you, Maya.
Yeah, and we will see you all on the next podcast.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Maya.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate your wisdom.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Wow, what a fun and nourishing episode that was to record. I just got off the interview and wow, so much fun. I guess that's part of the reason I became an erotic blueprint coach, is because I just love talking about sex and talking about eroticism and talking about pleasure, and truly have this deep purpose of helping people expand their capacity to receive and give love, as well as expand their capacity to receive and give pleasure. So if you're listening and you are in a couple and you've been wanting to expand, awaken, heal, grow your erotic life, for example, maybe you're feeling stuck in certain patterns in your erotic life, in your sex life. Maybe you're feeling challenged with certain things that are coming up either for you or your partner or both of you in the dynamic between you in terms of your erotic life. I would love to help you, and I have just a couple of spots available right now. So if you're interested in that, all you have to do is email me personally at maya@empowerlove.us. So send me an email, maya@empowerlove.us. Let me know that you are interested in working together as a couple for the erotic blueprint coaching with me. And we will go from there. And you can let me know if you want to, a little bit about what's going on and what you're wanting more of in your sex life and in your erotic life and your relationship. But we can also just, we will talk about all of that on a free discovery session. So I will, all you have to do is email me, and then I'll email you back some days and times that we can set that up. The other thing that I wanted to share about this episode, which just came through as like this intuitive nudge, which is three of the men, my dear friends, on this episode are single. One of them is Nikki, one of them is Jeff, and one of them is Spark. And these are all amazing, wonderful, conscious men, as you can tell. And if you were listening and you were like, wow, I feel really drawn to this person, or I really want to connect more with them, I'm interested in them romantically, or I just have this intuitive hit that we might really get along and have a great time together, and you're interested in possibly, you know, connecting in a, you know, romantic way or, you know, dating way, then feel free to email me at maya@empowerlove.us. And let me know that you're interested, which one of them you're interested in, where you live, a little bit about yourself, your age, where you live, you know, what kind of relationship you're interested in, and which I know is a bold thing to do, but, you know, I really believe that true love takes risks, and by both parties. And so these men were taking a risk by sharing with us so vulnerably and so openly. And it would definitely be exactly a bold thing to do. to email me and let me know if you're feeling drawn to connect with one of them. So no pressure at all. I just wanted to give any woman out there an opportunity to connect in case they felt drawn in by that, by the conversation and wanted to connect more with one of them. So yeah, just sending you all so much love. And again, you can email me at maya@empowerlove.us if you feel called to do so. And then again, of course, if you're interested in the Rewire for Love program, where we're doing so much deep healing work around your attachment style, around dating, around love, around relationships, really teaching you how to get into a healthy relationship, teaching you all the exact skills, and also doing the deep healing work so that you can show up in a really healthy way, definitely go to empowerlove.us/apply to book your free love breakthrough session. I would love to have you in that program, and that is for women. And then I have a one-on-one program for men as well. So wonderful to have you listening to this super fun and juicy episode. I look forward to seeing you on the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to Rewire Your Attachment Style. This is Maya Diamond to receive your 2 free gifts to help you on your journey to lasting love and to start rewiring your attachment style today. Go to empowerlove.us/love.